question is something that you and I cannot answer because we did not come on our own in this world. Allah Ta'ala created us. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, Wallahu khalaqakum, Allah Ta'ala created you. So that particular objective cannot be answered by you and I. Although Allah Ta'ala poses it, do you feel I created you in vain? But Allah is the one who created us, and if Allah Ta'ala is the one who created us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide an answer for us, why He created us and what is our objective, our creation.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazrat Maulana went on to speak about the different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is responsible for bringing the entire universe into existence. And not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring the universe into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the different creations in this world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought into existence only for the service of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of fruit. And when Allah speaks of the fruit in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that the fruit were brought into existence. Why? So that humankind and so that the man can benefit from these fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the mountains and the objective of bringing these mountains into existence. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He has brought these mountains into existence. So these mountains act as pegs on this earth. They stabilize the earth. And the earth is stabilized for who? For the humankind. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا Allah, and then after speaking about the mountains, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the earth. Allah explains that how He has made the earth a spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the earth such so that humankind can derive benefit from the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of humans themselves. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He created you in pairs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create you as a single human being. You need a pair. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you. And with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a spouse. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا Allah speaks of the night. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the night, Allah has created it with the sole objective and purpose so that man can find rest at night. So even night has been created in order to serve man. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا What about day? Allah speaks about the day as well. While at night man finds rest during the night, during the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the opportunity to go out and seek for sustenance during the day. So even the day was created for you and I to take benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down from the heavens. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا That even the rain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to fall from the heavens, that too Allah brought into existence to serve humankind.
Mawlana goes on to make mention and he says that Allah Ta'ala asks this particular question that who is our creator in various ways. Sometimes He asks us in a form of a question. Sometimes He puts it in a way that creates an urge to accept and to recognize, and it becomes penetrative in our hearts that our creator is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and we have to turn towards Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So sometimes He asks in a question, sometimes with authority, sometimes with evidence. Look at this particular evidence. أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Who is the creator of the heavens and earth? وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً And who is the one who has created not only the heavens and earth, but has brought down rains that provides the nurturing of this heavens and earth? وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَبَّتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَحْجَةٍ From this rain, we find that vegetations come into play. All our fruits and all our vegetables and all our food comes from the earth. And that particular earth is brought down by the rain that nourishes it. أَمَّنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَأَنزَلَ لَكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَنبَتْنَا بِهِ حَدَائِقَ ذَاتَ بَحْجَةٍ مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا No one amongst you would be able to create or would be able to sustain or would be able to bring about this food chain. أَإِلَهٌ مَّعَ اللَّهِ Look at the question. Is it anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِلَهٌ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Is it anyone else besides Allah? Allah Ta'ala is telling us this so that we can turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in submission. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. His power and authority is everywhere. He is the one, فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ. He is the one whose power and authority, and He is the deity and the creator of the heavens. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. And upon the earth, He is the إله. He is the creator. He is the Lord. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has flattened. The earth is round, but He has not. You don't see the roundness. Allah is the one who creates a situation where you find that you would be able to walk on the earth, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has moderated. أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاعَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this earth has brought about all the necessities of life. إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِكُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after you put the seed into the ground, after you put the seed in the ground, you have no, absolutely nothing to do with it. After you put the seed in the ground, until that seed does not split, that particular seed, until it does not split, you will never be able to get one aspect from the earth. Whether it be your wheat, whether it be your corn, whether it be any particular aspect of your vegetation. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَالِكُ الْحَبِّ وَالنَّوَى. Allah splits the seed. And then, وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَا. Allah is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the mountains, that in the words of the Holy Quran, like a peg. If the mountains were not there, this earth would have floated on the water, because 79% of the earth is water. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَا. I have made the mountains like a peg. إِنْ أَنَّا سَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبَّا. I send down rain. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَحْرُثُونَ. Don't you see that which grows from the earth? أَأَنْتُمْ تَزْرَعُونَهُ. Do you bring it down from the ground? Or does Allah Ta'ala bring it out from the ground? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ شَقَقْنَا الْأَرْضَ شَقَّا. I split it, which I gave the example. فَأَسْكَنَّاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Every aspect comes from the earth. Then Allah Ta'ala speaks about the aspect of water. قُلَ رَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينَ. أَفَرَأَيْتُمُ الْمَاءَ الَّذِي تَشْرَبُونَ. Don't you see the water that you drink? أَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ. Do you bring it down from the heaven? Or does Allah bring it? And if one day you get up and all the sources of water is dry, قُلَ رَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينَ. The last verse of Surah Tabarak. If one day you get up in the morning and all the sources of water are dry, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينَ. Who is going to give you and create for you water?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, after explaining that He has brought all these creations into existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is Allah who is in control of the rains. And as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the rains to descend on the earth and human beings to take benefit from the rain, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has the ability and the power to stop these rains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has given us and granted us and blessed us with sweet water that we drink. Imagine if for a moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes and transforms the waters of the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it extremely bitter. What pleasure will we be deprived of? So this is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only the descending of the rain, but also the taste that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in the waters. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even the sourness or the salty water of the oceans, this too is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if the water of the oceans were drinkable, and if we could benefit from the waters of the oceans and we could drink it, then there was no need for any rain. And as such, if there's no need for any rain, then can you imagine how many other benefits we would be deprived of, because if there were no rains. So even in the saltiness of the ocean, that too is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you study the oceans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, وَتَرَى الْفُلْكَ تَجْرِ فِيهِ. You notice on the oceans, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are ships that flow on the ocean. These huge, huge ships, also a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing the ships to flow on the ocean, there would be no trade, there would be no business. People would not have a source of income and a source of living at their disposal. So even the ships that we see sailing on the ocean, this too is a great ni'mah and bounty of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after explaining all of this to us, after explaining to us the creation of the rain and the existence of the universe and the creation of fruits and the creation of water and the ocean and the ships and everything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us who is behind all of this. Who is behind all of this? Ala lahul khalq wal amr. Time and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that all the creation, the existence of the creation and the motion of the creation and everything about everything that Allah has brought into creation, all of that, its affairs, its maintenance, its upkeep, its existence, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that al-khalqu wal-amru, everything belongs to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala time and again impresses this upon the minds and the intellect of human beings, that the world, the wind, the sunlight, day, night, countries, continents, whether you are in America, whether you are in Africa, whether you are in Asia, whichever continent you may be in, whichever city you may live in, everything, we need to understand this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this to us in the Quran. Inna rabbakumullah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard. Your Rabb is who? Your Rabb is Allah. Who is Allah? Allah is the one who brought the entire universe, the heavens and the earth, and everything that you see around you. It is Allah who brought all of this into existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to us about the creation of progenies. Very many a times we feel that it is the marriage, or when one spouse marries another spouse, when you have this union of nikah, then that is a means of a child coming into existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ. It is not the union of nikah that brings a child into marriage. There are so many people who are married. There are so many people who have entered into this union of nikah, yet they are deprived of children. That is a means, but who is it that brings their children into existence, who allows progenies to flourish, who allows people to enjoy this wonderful gift of children? It is none other than Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran time and again that every ni'mah of Allah, as much as Allah brought into existence, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows human beings to benefit from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the full power and the full ability to deprive a person of that ni'mah and that bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to enjoy.
Mulana continues with regard to his praising of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a hallmark of most of his talks, that he starts off by speaking about the greatness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said while he was coming here on the plane, you found that there were different types of clouds, and those clouds, you sort of glide through them, and it seems that there is absolute light. You don't see anything in it. You know, you just sort of go in the plane and you pass through the clouds. But yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُسْجِي سَحَابًا ثُمَّ يُعَلِّفُ بَيْنَهُ ثُمَّ يَجْعَلُهُ رُكَامًا فَتَرَى الْوَدْقَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ خَلَالِهِ. But when Allah ta'ala brings about those clouds and gathers them and brings them together, they then comes into various parts. And when Allah ta'ala wants, the way there are many aspects with regard to the Quran which speaks about the water cycle, then those particular clouds which you glide through while you are flying in the air and seems like that particular type of clouds, when Allah Ta'ala wants it to burst, it will be able to burst in such a manner. If Allah Ta'ala does not control it, it will be able to bring about the entire country under water. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat. And then Mawlana goes on to say, look at the aspect of Allah Ta'ala. قُلْ أَرَعَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَعْتِيكُمْ بِذِيَابٍ. If Allah Ta'ala wants, إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ. If Allah Ta'ala wants to extend this night till the day of Qiyamah, man ilahun, who is there besides Allah who will give you daybreak tomorrow morning? قُلَ رَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. If Allah Ta'ala wants, and Allah Ta'ala extends the day till the day of Qiyamah, Man ilahun, man ilahun, which other Lord, which other creator, which other human being, man ilahun, which other power, غَيْرُ اللَّهِ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ, will bring you nightfall that you will be able to get rest. Then Mawlana in his own particular unique style go and said, he is my Allah, هُوَ الْأَوَّلْ وَالْآخِرْ وَالْزَاهِرْ وَالْبَاطِنْ, he is the first of the first, he is the last of the last, he is the hidden and he is the apparent. And then he goes on to make mention of the entire 99 names of Allah. Who Allah? Allah is Allah. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymun. Mawlana went on to go make mention of the entire 99 names of Almighty Allah. It is this Allah, this Creator, with such great qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling upon us to recognize. Allah is calling upon us that we should worship. And Allah ta'ala is calling upon us to obey this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone without Allah is nothing. Everyone without Allah is nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without anyone, without everyone is everything. Huh? Everyone without Allah is nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without everyone is still everything. So Allah, he makes mention with regard to that. He is Allah, huwa Allahu, qul huwa Allahu ahad. Then he says, la ilaha illallah. This is the most beautiful aspect. He said, la ilaha illallah is something that is in our hearts. It is in our hearts which is hidden. La ilaha illallah is something that is our iman. It is something that is attached to our hearts. Then what is the manifestation of la ilaha illallah? The manifestation of la ilaha illallah is Muhammadur Rasulullah. The manifestation of la ilaha illallah is Muhammadur Rasulullah. Tawheed is the root. Muhammadur Rasulullah, the prophethood of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is the tree. The Tawheed is the root. Muhammadur Rasulullah is the beautiful flowers, is the beautiful tree. And this is how we find this whole particular aspect. Muhammadur Rasulullah is our identity. Iman will be in our heart. Tawheed will be in our heart. But our identity will be Muhammadur Rasulullah. And in this particular aspect, let us look at this aspect of the identity of a Muslim. If you want to see the identity of a Muslim, you will find his identity, the true identity, not through the means of just an identity by name. His true identity would be, he would be following the ways of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes on to make mention with regard to it, that even the shopkeeper, the worker, the laborer, the one who is, the woman, their identity would be that they follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Mawlana goes on to make mention with regard to some of the oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken. One of the oaths that Allah ta'ala has taken in the Holy Quran, Fala wa rabbik, which comes in the fifth juz of the Holy Quran. This is where Allah ta'ala says, Fala wa rabbik, by my Lord, by myself. So Allah ta'ala is taking an oath on himself. And he said, amongst the other oaths that Allah ta'ala takes is, Wal asri. Allah ta'ala takes an oath on time. And that is where my stop, and then Mawlana will continue, inshallah.
Hazrat Mawlana then went on to speak of the Quran and the manner in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. However, before he moves on to that, he explains that today we have abandoned the Quran. We have not truly understood the eloquence and the rhetoric of the Quran. Perhaps we have learned the translation and we are familiar with the translation. And he said today everyone sits with the translation. Even scholars, you find that today they refer to the translation. But what we have failed to understand is the deeper meaning and the eloquence and the rhetoric of the Quran. He says that there was an expert of the Arabic language by the name of Abdullah bin Muqaffa. And this is a person or a master of the Arabic language who was not a Muslim of the second century. And the people came up to him and they say, Abdullah bin Muqaffa, you are an expert in the Arabic language. You are well known to formulate verses of poetry of the highest level. Why do not formulate something that is better than that of the Quran? Abdullah bin Muqaffa, he said he's going to take on the challenge. And he said to his people and those who had presented this challenge to him, that give me a period of 6 months and provide me with all the highest level of books in terms of literature, in terms of eloquence, in terms of rhetoric. And he said, give me a period of 6 months. And I will produce something that is better in eloquence, meaning and rhetoric than that of the Quran. for a period of 6 months, Abdullah bin Muqaffa, equipped with all the books of finest literature, Arabic literature, he went and he started formulating verses of poetry that could perhaps not even overpower that of the Quran, but match the eloquence of the Quran. After 6 months, Abdullah bin Muqaffa, he is about to now present whatever he has prepared to his people and to his community. And they promised him treasures of gold and silver if he were to be able to produce something of that nature. As he was walking towards a place where the podium was set up for him in order to now present the poetry that he prepared, he passed by a little house, and in this house there was a young girl who was reciting the Quran. And while reciting the Quran, he heard her as he passed by, the window was open. He heard her reciting the verse of the Quran, وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بْلَعِي وَيَا السَّمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي وَغِيضَ الْمَاءُ. He heard her reciting this verse and he was so dumbstruck by this verse. Now you and I perhaps know the translation of this verse. We can translate it for you. Maulana said, but this verse is so packed with points of eloquence and rhetoric, Arabic rhetoric, which we refer to as balagha. He says that it is 29, this verse contains of 29 words, but 21 points of eloquence and rhetoric. In this one verse, 29 words of the Quran. And he said he was so awestruck and starstruck by what he heard, that he decided that if this is one verse of the Quran, how am I ever going to produce anything that is better than the other verses of the Quran? And he went back, he returned to his home and he took the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. So he says, today we have abandoned the Quran. Perhaps you know the translation of the Quran, but what we have not learned is the deeper meaning of the Quran. He then goes on to another verse of the Quran. There was a person by the name of Abu Ubaid, and he recited the verse of the Quran, Fasda' bima tu'mar. Fasda' bima tu'mar. The expression is amazing. Fasda' Fasda' bima tu'mar. There was a Bedouin, and it was well known about the Bedouins that they had learned the pure Arabic language with all its eloquence and all the rhetoric and so forth. And he happened to pass by Abu Ubaid, and when he heard him just reciting these two words, Fasda' bima tu'mar, he descended and he dismounted from his animal and he fell down in sujood. Abu Ubaid said, that's not ayah of sajda. Why are you going in sujood? That's not, you don't have to make sajda for this. So he says, subhanallah, the overwhelming power that it had on me, it just dropped me to my knees and I fell down into sujood. So he says that today we have abandoned the Quran in terms of learning the deeper meanings of the Quran, and we are not moved by the Quran as these people were moved by the Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Fala wa rabbik, fala wa rabbik. He says, I can translate this, but I can never translate the love that Allah expresses in this. So the words I can translate it for you. It's a qasam that Allah takes. Fala wa rabbik. And by the qasam of your Rabb. He says that's the translation. But he says we have a similar expression in Gujarati or in Urdu. When the mother says about the child, or she addresses the child and she says, Mera lal. Mera lal. Now he says perhaps we can translate it, but you can never translate the mother's love that's contained in that expression for that child. That you cannot ever translate. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just in this one expression, He says the love in this expression is of such a great nature that you and I can never ever translate the love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Just give me a minute. He's just finishing an incident, so I'll just finish that incident and listen to it and translate, inshallah. Thank you. Maulana goes on to make mention with regard to this aspect which Maulana has spoken about, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. And where Allah Ta'ala takes the most beautiful oath, and Maulana spoke about the aspect of that oath and the importance of oath. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until you do not make, this is the fifth surah of the Holy Quran in Surah Nisa. You cannot be a believer until you make Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your arbitrator, your decision maker in every aspect of your life. Hatta yuhakkimuka fima shajara bainahum. You cannot be a believer until you do not make Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an arbitrator in all your disputes, in all your arguments, in all your situations. Then he said, this is a reality. We cannot gain any type of prominence until we do not become the one who follows the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until you do not become the slave of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then quoted the Urdu poem, Ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne to ham tere hai. Ye jahan cheez hai kya loho qalam tere hai. That if you had become loyal to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne to ham tere hai. Then Allah Ta'ala says, we will be yours. Whatever you want. Ye jahan cheez hai kya? What is this world? Loho qalam tere hai. Takdeer will also be yours. Ki Muhammad se wafa tu ne to ham tere hai. Ye jahan cheez hai kya? Loho qalam tere hai. Never mind this world. The takdeer will be in your favor. If you, so you say, wherever you go, wherever you be, you must be and live like a Muhammadi. Love like one who follows the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do not follow the sunnah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after what our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for us, and how Allah Ta'ala had granted him the great status, then animals will be better than us on the day of Qiyamah. After Allah Ta'ala has granted us, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. After Allah has granted us this great Nabi, if we do not follow Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, animals will be better. Then he gives this example and this most beautiful incident. And that is the reason why I waited a little while, you know, before, because I wanted to complete this particular type of this incident that he had made mention. He said one day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone out, you know, and he was sitting in a desert. When a baddu, a person and a one who is from the desert, you know, a baddu, and he came and he saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting in this majlis with the sahaba, and he said, who is this? You know, like how, for example, someone come past and see this gathering and said, what is this gathering? So he said, this is the one who says that he is a Nabi of Allah. He is the one who says he is a Nabi of Allah. So this baddu had hunted. Maulana gives an example of, he says in Arabic, we call it a dhab. And then Maulana says that many a times you see in your houses, you get a lizard. Now many times bigger than a lizard is this dhab. In English, the equivalent of this is known as an iguana. It's a desert animal. He had hunted it. The people of the desert in Arabia used to consume it. Right? So he brought this and he had just hunted that. And he came in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, أَنْتَ الَّذِي تَقُولُ مَا تَقُولُ. Are you the one who says whatever you say, that you are the Nabi of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I am the Nabi of Allah. He took the dead iguana and he threw it in front of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, لا أؤمن حتى يؤمن هذا الدب. I will not bring iman upon you until this iguana gives testimony that you are the Nabi of Allah. I will not bring iman. Maulana says that a person who is dead, a human being, will not be able to speak. Where is a dead animal going to speak? But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed this particular iguana. He said that iguana, if you look at it, it's a very frightening, and not a very, you know, handsome or good, you know, animal to look at. And he said, Ya Dhab. And he said, O iguana, O Dhab. And this particular iguana, he says, he replied, Fa'ajab. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ فَصِيحٍ مُبِينٍ. It replied in classical and clear, in eloquent Arabic. And what did he reply? He said, he replied, and he praised Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with such words that Maulana said, I haven't seen those particular words expressed in many, many books He said, Maulana says, I got a book written by Allama Sindhi Rahmatullah Ali, in which he has made mention of 1,177 names and titles and aspects and the greatness of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, I didn't find that even in that kitab. And what did he say? Labbaik wa sa'adaik ya zayna man wafa yawm al-qiyamah. I am present, and it is my fortune to be present in front of you, O Prophet of Almighty Allah. Ya zayna man wafa. Manana goes on to say that qiyamah will be a very, very difficult time. You know, yawma yaj'alul wildana shiban is-sama'u munfatirun bih. Even the young person will become old when he sees the horrors of qiyamah. إِنَّ يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَذَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتِ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا and وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. Where the pregnant woman, when the trumpet of Qiyamah starts blowing, she will give, no matter what and how far her pregnancy is, she will abort, because Qiyamah is such a, you know, terrifying thing. He says, that is the aspect with regard to Qiyamah. But this particular animal, it replied and said, Slabbaik wa sa'adaik ya zayna man wafa yawm al-qiyamah. I am present, the one who will make even the day of judgment beautiful. The one who will make the day of judgment beautiful. Ya zayna man wafa. Who will adorn the day of qiyamah. What it means? By you bringing iman, you will adorn yourself to be able to face the difficulties of Jannah. Then he said, who do you worship? Man ta'abud? Who do you worship? And this particular ghab, it replied, this is one of the miracles of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man fis sama'i arshuhu. I worship the one whose arsh is in the heavens. Man fis sama'i arshuhu. Wa fil ardi sultanuhu. Upon the earth is his authority. وفي البحر سبيله, in the oceans are its paths. وفي الجنة رحمته, in Jannah will be its rahmat. وفي الجهنم إقابه, وفي النار إقابه, and in Jahannam will be aspects of his punishment. He said, من تعبد, who do you worship? And this particular iguana replied, من في السماء عرشه, وفي الأرض سلطانه, وفي البحر سبيله, وفي الجنة رحمته, وفي النار إقابه. Maulana goes on to make mention with regard to how Ma'bad praised Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the appearance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which Maulana will make. But just completing that particular incident, which I remember from a previous talk of Maulana, Amatar Manta Abud, and then afterwards he asked the Dhab, and he said, who am I? He said, Anta Rasul Rabbul Alameen. You are the Rasul of the Lord of the world. And Kad Aflaha. Man kad aflaha man sadaqat. He is successful who brings iman upon you, and he is a failure who does not bring iman upon you. This is our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whose prophethood did not only extend to human beings. Qul ya ayyuhan nas inni rasulullahi ilaykum jami'a. O people, I am a rasul to you, all of you, till the day of Qiyamah. And this particular, not only to human beings, but even animals recognize his prophethood.
Hazrat Maulana went on to remind us the objective of our existence in this life. He says that, brothers, understand that the objective of your existence is to please Allah. To live a life whereby you earn the happiness of Allah. So that when you leave this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with you. That's the objective of your life. He says the objective and the purpose of our life is not to accumulate the wealth of this world, and to make that the primary purpose of our endeavors. Sometimes we are traveling to different parts of this world,
to America, to New Zealand, to Africa, wherever it may be around the world. He says, many a times we are motivated when we undertake these travels and the journeys to different parts of this world. We are motivated by our objective of worldly gain and worldly interest. Whereas the primary objective of our life is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy. He says, even if you don't live a life of earning the happiness of Allah, die in Makkah or die in Medina, that will be of no benefit to you. If that was not the objective of your life. He says, look at Abu Jahl, where did Abu Jahl die? He died in Makkah al-Mukarramah. That the purity of the place did not purify him. Why? Because he left without the happiness of Allah. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the head of the Munafiqeen and the hypocrites, he died in Madinah al-Munawwarah. But that, his death in Madinah al-Munawwarah was of no benefit to him. Why? Because though the place may be pure, the man did not earn the purification of his heart and earn the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, die anywhere in the world. You may not die in Makkah, you may not pass away in Madinah al-Munawwarah. Death might not overtake you in any holy and blessed pure place. Wherever you may die, if you had lived your life earning the happiness of Allah, you will die a happy life. You will die a good death. He says that there was a Bedouin who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, may yuhasibuni yawm al-qiyamah. O Nabi of Allah, who will be in charge of my reckoning on the day of Qiyamah? Who will I have to answer to on the day of Qiyamah? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah, Allah is the one before whom you will give a detailed account of your life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you responsible. When he heard this response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be the muhasib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be responsible for taking reckoning on the day of Qiyamah, he became excited and extremely happy. He said, Bakh, Bakh, Bakh is an expression in the Arabic language when you wish to express your joy and happiness. Like amazing, wow, I'm so happy, I'm sorted out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, why are you expressing happiness at this? He says, because innal kareema idha qadara afa. Allah is al-kareem. Allah has the ability to pardon. When a person has the ability to pardon and forgive, he exercises that ability. So that is why I'm happy, because I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will be taking my reckoning on the day of Qiyamah. He then goes on to the story of Umm Ba'bad radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he tells us that this love for Allah, we spoke about the objective of our life. Objective of our life is to earn the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ensure that when we leave this world, we leave with that happiness of Allah. And he says, learn that, acquire it, achieve it through the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fall in love with the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in love with. And that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most effective way to earn the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in multiple verses in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Wadduha, Wadduha wal-layli idha saja. Now we all know the normal meaning of Wadduha. Wadduha refers to the bright light of the morning light, wadduha, wal-layli idha saja, wal-layli idha saja refers to the darkness of the night when the night is absolutely peaceful. But he says Imam Razi rahmatullah alayhi has offered a different interpretation of wadduha. He says, wadduha, Allah is taking a qasam of the beauty of the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wadduha, wal-layli idha saja, and the night when it settles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam on the dark hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One interpretation. Another interpretation, wal-layli idha saja, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the dark cloak that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will use on the day of Qiyamah when he is given the opportunity to intercede on behalf of the sinners, to use that dark cloak and cover those sinners under the cloak and remove them from Jahannam through the intercession that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enjoy on the day of Qiyamah. He then goes on to the story of Umm Ma'bad. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was traveling, and this was on the occasion of Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's migration to Madinatul Munawwara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, he had limited provisions with him. Once the provisions ran out, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked for something to eat and something to drink. They did not have anything with them. From a distance, they noticed an old tent that was pitched in one area of the desert. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, that let us go and visit whoever may be living in this tent over there. When they arrived at the tent, they found that there was an old woman seated in the tent by the name of Ummu Ma'bad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented their difficulties before her, that we are traveling, we have nothing to eat, nothing to drink. Do you have anything to offer us? She says, I have absolutely nothing. I have absolutely nothing to offer you. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed a weak, feeble goat that was grazing in that area or around the tent. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked about this goat, can we not perhaps have some milk? Milk this goat and have some milk for us to drink. And she says, she did not know this was the Rasul of Allah. She says, try and, you know, this animal can produce nothing, nothing at all. Try whatever it is, here's the goat, have it for yourself. If you can milk anything from it and derive any milk from it, then be it. You can, whatever drops you get from it, then you may have that. She says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the goat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took his hand and he rubbed it and he passed it onto the udders of the goat, and instantly the udders filled with milk. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began filling not one or two containers, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam filled an entire bucket with milk. She drank, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank, all those who were with the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they all drank to their fill. And thereafter the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before leaving, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam filled an entire bucket for this woman and had it kept there with her. She was so amazed. And Mawlana explains that generally you will find a goat will live up to 6 or 7 years, most. This goat lived up to 25 years. This goat passed away in the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. In the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, this goat died. And Mawlana explains why, because of the touch of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he died a natural death. It was not slaughtered. He says, Allah saved this goat from suffering the knife, or saving it from the knife, or from being slaughtered because of the touch of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to touch your life, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from as a result of that. So Ummu Ma'bad, her husband comes home, and the husband finds all this milk, and he's so surprised and shocked. And he asks her, where did you get this milk from? And she says, from the goat. He says, that's impossible. And then he asks her and questions her as to how did this happen? How did so much milk come out from this barren, weak and feeble goat? And then she explained, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she says, a man came here, and I cannot describe his beauty. رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا ظَاهِرَ الْوَجَاهَ. There was a young man who came here, and his beauty was so amazing that I could not stop looking at this young man. There are three words that she used to explain the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his beauty. She says he was husnul khalq. Husnul khalq meaning he was absolutely perfect in his creation. Wasim al wajh. Wasim al wajh is that person you keep on looking at and you just not satiated with the beauty. You just can't stop looking. When you look again, you look away, you just want to look back. That is the wasim al wajh. The beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qasim. And then she explains, she says, this man, he was like the full moon. The full moon. Can you imagine the full moon in the desert of Arabia? How soothing that must have been to the eye. She says that he was like a full moon covered in a dark garment. Explaining the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says this was the beauty of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah time and again reminds us that the objective of our life is to live a life that we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most effective and quickest way to achieve the happiness of Allah is by making the beloved of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beloved.
Maulana goes on to say the aspect with regard to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said the only way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for us to become successful is to follow the ways of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Tell unto the people, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. He says, you know, goes on to make mention with regard to some of those aspects. Sometimes amazing to see a woman from the desert. Maulana Mahdev made mention in his previous aspect of translation of this Umme Ma'bad, whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had crossed. While Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going towards, you know, in his journey between Makkah and Medina at the time of Hijrah, and the two words, and Maulana Mahdev said that before, the two words that he had made mention was Wasim and Qasim. Wasim and Qasim. And she made mention it was as if the 14th moon, and of course we know the beauty and the splendor and the light of the 14th moon, it seemed as if the beauty of the 14th moon had been given an apparent form. And that form was our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he goes on to say that every aspect, every beautiful aspect, after a while it loses its appeal. He said, I have come after long time in South Africa, 21 years. I was here in 91. And how many years have gone? A couple of, you know, two decades or so. So I said, I find the scenery very amazing. So today when I looked at some of the aspect, I find it very amazing. But you staying here, you would not find it as amazing. Because as you see something, even if it is beautiful, after a while it loses its appeal. He gave his own personal example. He said, I went the first time in 1998 to Canada. So I asked the people, please take me to Niagara Falls. I've heard about it. It's very beautiful. So he said, I went and I found it very beautiful. The next time I went, I didn't ask to go. The people took me. They said, please go. The third time I went, they said, please, we want to take you. So I said, now what it is there is only water following off, you know, falling off a cliff. I've seen it before. I don't need to go again. He said, no, then the night view is very different. So I said, I saw it again. What's the difference? You know. So he said, every beauty loses its appeal. He said, do you know what the meaning of Wasim is? And this was from the tongue of an ordinary woman that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed. Go and look. He said, look at the dictionary of the Arabic language. Wasim means, no matter how many times you see this person, his beauty never fades. No matter how many times you see the beauty never fades. And he said another aspect is that she used the word Qasim. Said, do you know what the meaning of Qasim? Qasim is, you see, many times you see a person, or you see a person, is that some aspect of it is beautiful. So you said that the face is very beautiful, but you know, his stature is not too, he's too short. Or he's too tall. Or sometimes you say, he's very good, but his nose is a little crooked. You know, you find this. He said, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Qasim means every aspect was beautiful. The head was beautiful, the face was beautiful, the nose was beautiful, the lips was beautiful, the stomach was beautiful, the chest was beautiful. He said, the hair was beautiful, the nail was beautiful. So Wasim means the one whose beauty never fades. Qasim is the one whose every aspect was beautiful. Then he goes on to make mention, he said that you find that in the words of the hadith, you find seven words have been used to describe the eyes of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't even remember all of that. Akhal. And he said, in the gist of all that is, you couldn't have found a more beautiful eye the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. And because of that, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no one could look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the ru'ub, the authority Allah ta'ala had granted our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a beautiful personality, such a beautiful, you know, because of the ru'ub. Now there's one hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was medium in his height, right? He was medium in his height, but he was not too tall, not too short. But whenever Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a gathering, he towered above everyone else. Abbas radiallahu anhu was very tall. So tall that when he used to be on the horse, his feet used to come almost onto the ground. So tall he was. But even when Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it seemed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towered over him. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was medium in terms of his height and stature. This was, he said, in the majlis of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of respect and awe, people shouldn't look in the eyes of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, many a times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to lift up his gaze in the gathering, and two people used to look at Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar. They used to have, because of the closeness to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to, you know, their gaze used to meet the gaze of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said again, O people, even no matter where you are in this world, become a Muhammadi, Allah Ta'ala will grant you success. If you be in Makkah, you be in Medina, you be here in South Africa, wherever you are, become the one who follows the Sunnah and love our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you success. And he gives this example. He say, people who are idol worshippers, people who are idol worshippers, they become amongst those that Allah Ta'ala says, وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, that every one of them is a jannati. وَكُلَّوْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Who are those? The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Majma'in. That all of those Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala had said and declared, رَضِيَ anhum wa radu an. Allah is happy with them. Allah is pleased with them. And they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, I would like to give you the example how people who are idol worshippers, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised them in rank. He said, one day Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting and he said, Inni la'arifu rajulan ismuhu wa ismu abihi wa ummi. I know a person. I know the name of his mother. I know the name of his father. La ya'ati baba min abwabil jannati illa qal. Marhaba, marhaba. He would not enter, or he would not go and in the direction of the doors of Jannah. There are 8 doors of Jannah. Every door of Jannah will vie with another door. That come through me, come through me, don't go there, come through me, call, come through me. I know the name of a person, I know the name of his mother, I know the name of his father. He would not come in the direction of Jannah, and the doors of Jannah will vie that for you to come through me is our honor. Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala got up, and he got up in the gathering, Ya Rasulullah, whose great rank is this? Inna hadhihi la murtafi'un shanuhu ya Rasulullah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting in one corner and he was looking down. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hadha Abu Bakr. This is Abu Bakr. That for him, the doors of Jannah will vie for him to come through. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw a most beautiful palace in Jannah. And it was such a beautiful palace. I asked that whose palace is this? They said, Fatam bin Quraysh. It is a person from Quraysh. Because I also was from Quraysh. I saw such a beautiful, you know, such a beautiful palace. Perhaps it's for me. Fazanantu annahu li. And I took a step in that direction. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is the palace of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is a palace of Umar ibn Khattab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joked with Umar and said, O Umar, I remembered your anger and I didn't enter. I remembered your anger and I didn't anger. So Umar radiallahu anhu started crying and said, Alayka aghar. Ya Rasulullah, am I going to display anger to you? Am I going to display anger to you? Ya Rasulullah, and he started crying. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Usman radiallahu anhu and said, Inna li kulli nabiyin rafiqun fil jannah. Every Nabi will have a special companion in Jannah. And my special companion in Jannah will be Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He took the hands of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He took the hands of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he took the hands out of love. And he put it towards his chest. And said, O Ali, are you not happy? Are you not satisfied that your rank and your place in Jannah will be together with me in Jannah? Your rank and place. And Maulana says that these are the people who are idol worshippers. Why did they become radiallahu anhum? Why did they become to the status? Because they followed the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they had love for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Hazrat Maulana intended to speak on the status of Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Ali radiallahu ta'ala, his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and his grandsons Al-Hassan wal-Husayn. He says, understand that the house of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was directly in front
of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's house. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever his gaze would fall on his two grandsons, Al-Hassan wal-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would become extremely happy and extremely joyous. There are certain titles that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen for Al-Hassan wal-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. At times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to them as the spring of my world. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to them as those two individuals or children who would brighten up his heart. At times Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call them Rayha Yatai, that my two flowers. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would refer to them with loving titles. Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed the ummah and instructed the sahaba that love the one who loves Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and hate the one who hates Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once addressed his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and says, Ya Fatima, ala tuhibbin, ala tardin, an takuni sayyidati nisa'i ahlil jannah. Oh Fatima, are you not happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you and selected you to be the queen of all the women in paradise? He then narrates an incident that once Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had taken ill, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of her illness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to pay her a visit. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accompanied by his famous sahabi Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at the home of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, he sought permission to come into the home. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala says, O Nabi of Allah, if you are by yourself, I give you permission to come in, but if you have anyone with you, then no permission is given to that person. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Fatima, take a shawl, cover yourself, put on your cloak so that I may bring Imran bin Husayn radiallahu ta'ala who with me into the home. She said, O Nabi of Allah, I have nothing to cover myself with. He says, who is this? This is the daughter of the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha does not have adequate clothing to cover herself from the gaze of a strange man. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had an additional shawl with him. He had some cloth with him. He threw it into the house and says, oh Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, use this to cover your face. Use this to cover yourself, so that Imran bin Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu can come into the home. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into the home of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Fatima, how are you this morning? Kayf asbahti ya bunayyati? O my daughter, how are you feeling this morning? She says, O Nabi of Allah, one is I am hungry. I have nothing to eat. So one is the pangs of hunger, and in addition to that, I am ill, I have no medication. So to compound the problem and to make it even worse, I have no medication, so I'm in a lot of pain, O Nabi of Allah. One is I'm hungry and I have no food to eat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Fatima, do not grieve. O Fatima, do not be sad. Your father has nothing to eat for the past 3 days. Who is the father, the most beloved of Allah's creation? Who is the daughter, the most beloved of the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat next to his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. He placed his hand on her shoulder. He drew her closer towards himself and says, oh Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, isbiri, exercise patience. Exercise sabr, ala tardin, an takuni sayyidati nisa'i ahlil jannah. You might be enduring the suffering in this world, but on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will raise you to such a high platform that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will allow you to be the queen of all the women of paradise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then speaks of Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ حَوَارِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Every Nabi will have a special companion in Jannah, like we have in this world a special khadim in Jannah. But I will have two of them. One will be Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the other will be Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. إِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاء. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jannah will be haram for every Nabi until I set foot in Jannah. And Jannah will be haram for every ummah until my ummah sets foot into Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He explains that when the people of Jannah, once they are given the good news to now proceed towards Jannah, he says that when they come to Jannah, they will find that the doors of Jannah will be closed. Unlike Jahannam. Jahannam, he says, there you'll have automatic doors. When the person comes to Jahannam, the door will open and he'll be flung into Jahannam. But that will not be the case of Jannah. All the people will come to the doors of Jannah and they will find the doors of Jannah to be shut closed. And they will then be overcome with some form of anxiety that why are the doors kept closed? Why are the doors kept closed? Why are we not granted entry into Jannah? And he then paused for a moment and he speaks about the description of the people of Jannah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the inmates and the people who will be granted entry into Jannah the height of Adam alayhi salam. They will be given the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. They will be given the heart of Ayyub alayhi salam. And like this, six characteristics of six Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam will be found in every person who enters into Jannah. People will then be perplexed, they will be overcome with anxiety, and like this they will go from Nabi to Nabi, requesting every Nabi to ask Allah to open the doors of Jannah. They will start with Adam alayhi salam, they will go to Nuh alayhi salam, and they will go to every Nabi thereafter, requesting every Nabi that request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us entry into Jannah. We can no longer bear the anxiety and the distress. We would like to enter into Jannah. And every Nabi will excuse himself until they come to Isa alayhi salam. When they come to Isa alayhi salam, they will praise Isa alayhi salam, that, oh Isa, this is the position you enjoyed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps you are the most suitable candidate to request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us entry into Jannah. Isa alayhi salam says that not even I will have the ability to do so. He will then direct them to none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus the ummah sees, they will come before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they will request from the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we can no longer bear the anxiety. Please request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open for us the doors of Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say that you have come to the right person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that only I will be given the authority and the permission to open up the gates of Jannah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will fall in sajda and he will praise Allah in a manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was never praised before. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he will say, irfa' ra'sak was'al tu'ta' washfa' tushaffa'. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, raise your head and ask, whatever it is that you ask for, you will be granted, and intercede, whatever intercession you make, your intercession will be accepted.
Goes on to make mention with regard to some of the virtues of some of the Sahaba, and one of them, of course, is Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu will carry the conveyance and the rope of the conveyance of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and will go into Jannah. He said he will be among the first people to go into Jannah, but he will go carrying the conveyance of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And since Maulana says that it's amazing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the conveyance will be carried by a person who was a slave. He was not given great amount of dignity in his time, but because he had suffered and he had great amount of sacrifice by repeating the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oneness of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him such a great rank. Allah didn't give that great rank to any type of Quraysh or any other type of person who has honor and dignity, or he feels he has honor and dignity in this. And then Maulana goes on to make mention with regard to some of the aspects of Jannah. And he said, in Jannah, the moment you go, everyone without him ever seeing will recognize the servants that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare for him. The wives will go into, firstly, Nabi Kareem S.A.W. will be the first one who will go into Jannah. Nabi Kareem S.A.W. will be the first one with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam to go into Jannah. Then I'm amongst the Ummah, Abu Bakr and Umar, and Hazrat Bilal will take the conveyance of Nabi Kareem S.A.W. into Jannah. He said, thereafter the poor people will go first into Jannah before the wealthy people. The poor people will go into Jannah before, because they will have less to account for compared to the wealthy people. Here, of course, a person who is wealthy has got certain amount of privileges, and we all know the privileges. You know, he's got a particular type of card, he's got a particular type of travel, you know, card that allows him, you know, not to go in the queue, lesser queue when he goes to go and travel. All of that he will have privileges. But in Jannah, it will be the opposite. There, the poor person will have privileges. So he said, oh, you don't have much to give account to, go into Jannah. Oh, you have got much to give account to, you stand in the queue. So there, the people who are poor will go into Jannah first. He say they will be, the wives will go first into Jannah before the husbands. Yeah, the wives will go first. So they will look after your wives. The wives will go first because they will want, Allah will prepare them and put them into their palaces and wherever, so that they would be able to welcome the husband. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala keep both of them upon the right path. And of course, we know that here the woman, our wives, Allah Ta'ala has created them from, the origin is dust. The origin is sand. And Allah Ta'ala has created them with different types of the situation where they have to go through. The aspect of birth, with the aspect of, you know, going through pregnancy, after pregnancy, the whole aspect of birth, thereafter when you are small, we all know that we have to wear pampers. All of that is all that, we all know that. He says the wools of Jannah will not be prepared and will not be created like that. They will not go through the process of pregnancy. They will not go through the process of being small and then having pampers and all those type of things, and they will have to change them. Allah Ta'ala will create them from mushk and ambar and different aspects with regard to what is in Jannah. You know, they will be covered with mush, you know, and this is what they were. The whores will be, they will be so great in terms of their splendor and in terms of their beauty, that if a whore of Jannah were to show its fingertips in this world, then the brightness of the sun will fade away. You would not be able to see the brightness of the sun if a whore of Jannah were to just to show the world her fingertip. And Mullah says that many times people say, why did Allah Ta'ala make mention of the whore? وَحُورٌ عِينٌ and كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونِ. Why is it? He says one of the reasons with regard to it is so that people stay away from zina. Allah has made mention of the whore and the beauty and the quality of the whore, that people stay away from zina and adultery. That if you stay away from zina and adultery, this is what Allah Ta'ala will grant you. So stay away from zina and adultery, because here in this world, we know in today's time, zina has become, unfortunately, you know, very rampant. Stay away from it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you these pure souls. And do not taint your body with filth, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you beauty and purity in Jannah. And he said, if, for example, if anyone does it, let him make tawbah, because through the means of tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wipes away his sins. And then he goes on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you sharab. Here alcohol is haram. Here the alcohol of this world, it is such that it befogs your intellect. The alcohol of Jannah will increase and enhance your intellect. The more you drink the sharab of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you even more recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says, wa anhar. Here we say, we use the word anhar, we translate it as streams or rivers. In Arabic, the word anhar is much more than streams and rivers. It is that type of body of water which has no boundaries, which has no sides. That is how anhar is in the Arabic language. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدُ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ عَاسٍ. There will be anhar. He said, we normally say river and stream, which is not the correct translation of anhar. أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ عَاسٍ will be of pure water. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَبَنْ لَمْ يَتَغَيِّرْ تَعَمُهُ. It will be a stream of milk, which will not change its nature. Here, of course, we find that milk, if you leave it, it becomes sour. It becomes incomas. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ تَعْمُهُ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. A stream, an anhar of alcohol, which will be pleasing and enhance the intellect. وَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. And there would be a stream of honey. Allah Ta'ala has made mention of this in the 26th surah of the Holy Quran. And He said one of the best streams would be tasneem. وَمِزَاجُهُ مِّنْ tasneem. And He said, do you know what is tasneem? Allah has made mention the word tasneem comes from the word sanam. The word sanam is the hump of the camel. Subhanallah. And He said the hump of the camel, the reason why Allah has made mention of the stream of Jannah being tasneem, that this particular stream will flow. But it will flow in such a way that the water will not even touch the ground. The water will not touch the ground, it will flow. And when you want to drink from the stream or from the anhar of tasneem, water will fall into your glass, whatever Allah has kept in Jannah, without any even a drop of water falling out of your glass. This is one of the greatness with regard to it. He said the dates, there will be the camels, there will be horses, there will be different things which will be in its own capacity in Jannah. And the, you know, Allah Ta'ala will create human being, you know, 130 foot. You know, his length will be 130 foot. He said, one Arab asked him, he said, why Allah will keep us with so great, you know, length in height in Jannah? He said, the kajur of Jannah will be 24 foot. Right, 24 feet of foot. What will you say, the measure? So he said, if you are going to be 5 or 6 foot, and the kajur is 24 foot, how are you going to live in Jannah? Huh? So this is the aspect with regard to how, you know, and they said a part of this whole particular aspect was that, you know, there will be all of these beautiful aspects with regard to Jannah. And the reason why all of this is to increase our desire to do good deeds, to earn this pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Maulana went on to explain the different pleasures that the people of Jannah will enjoy. He spoke about the melodious tune that will be played for the people of Jannah and the addiction that it will have. He says that he relates an incident. He asked Junaid Jamshed, rahimahullah, that your lyrics or the songs that you produce, how many minutes? So he says, most 3.5 minutes, not more than that. So he said, 3.5 minutes, not even 4 minutes. He says, 3.5 minutes, after 3.5 minutes, people become tired of listening to that same lyrics, and the same tune, and the same music. But he says about the melodious tunes of Jannah, that a Jannati will listen to it for 70 years, non-stop. And he will still want to listen to more and more of that melodious tunes and the melodious lyrics of Jannah. He explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created hoors, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created partners for us in Jannah. And they are pure from every blemish. They are pure from every shortcoming. لا يبولون ولا يتغوطون. There will be no need for them to ever answer the call of nature. The people of Jannah will not experience any tiredness. The people of Jannah will not feel the need to go to sleep. The people of Jannah will not be overcome with any laziness or any of these weaknesses that we experience in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address the people of Jannah, and after they have been given all the pleasures and comforts and luxuries of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address them and ask them, is there anything else that you request for? Is there anything else that you would want to enjoy in Jannah? And they will say, Ya Allah, above this and beyond this, what more can we ask for? What more can we request for? We have been given the best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address Dawood alayhi salam. Allah will say, Ya Dawood, that O Dawood, come and recite to the people of Jannah. And Dawood alayhi salam, we know that he was given such a voice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the voice of Dawood alayhi salam, that when he would recite the Zabur, the mountains in wherever in that environment or where he would recite it, those mountains would move out of the enjoyment that they would experience from the voice of Dawood alayhi salam. He says, Jannah itself
Jannah itself will experience pleasure and enjoyment when listening to Dawood alayhi salam reciting in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then ask the people of Jannah, after they have listened to the recitation of Dawood alayhi salam, that is there anything else you request for, anything else you would like to enjoy? And they would say, Ya Allah, above that and beyond that, what more can we ask for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then address Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, now you ascend the pulpit of Dawood alayhi salam, and you recite to the people of Jannah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will recite in a manner that surpasses the melodious tune of Dawood alayhi salam, and people will experience, the people of Jannah will experience even greater joy and even greater pleasure when listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will terminate his recitation, he says, you know, picture this, visualize this. We are all gathered there in Jannah and we are listening to the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then ask the people of Jannah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has concluded his recitation, that is there anything else you request, anything else that you wish for? And again the same response, that Ya Allah, you have given us the best. After listening to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what more can we ask for? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say, now listen to the recitation of Arhamur Rahimeen. Now listen to the recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will address Ridwan, that Ya Ridwan, O Ridwan, remove the parda, remove the hijab between me and my servants, so that my servants can directly glance towards me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the hadith that you will not experience any difficulty when glancing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As you glance towards the full moon, none of us experiences any difficulty when glancing towards the full moon. In this world, in Jannah, you will experience no difficulty. As absolutely clearly, you will glance towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will then say, Marhaban bis-sadiqeen, welcome to those loyal servants of mine. Those who expressed loyalty in this world, those who made sajda for my sake and for my pleasure in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's opening statement and opening comment to them will be that welcome to every one of you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the inmates of Jannah, while they will be mesmerized with the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting every and ignoring every pleasure and comfort of Jannah, as they will be transfixed, glaring towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and glancing towards Him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then say to them, now enjoy something that is even beyond Jannah, and that is the Ridwan and the happiness of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, now you go and you have now earned the happiness of Allah, the Ridwan of Allah, the good pleasure of Allah. And on that occasion, the people of Jannah will request to Allah that, oh Allah, allow us to perform one sujood for you. Allah says, the time of sujood was in the dunya. This is not the time of sujood. Now I am your host, and a host does not demand any service from the guest. I am the host, you are the guest. So not even a single sujood will you be required to perform for me in Jannah. He then says, لَتِلْكَ الْجَنَّةُ الَّتِي أُورِثْتُمُوهَا. Allah will say that this is Jannah, the Jannah that you have inherited because of the hard work, the perseverance, the sabr, and the effort that you have made in this world. This is the Jannah that you have earned for yourself. He says, brothers, Allah has created you for a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you for a purpose. Accumulation of the wealth and hankering behind the dunya and the interests of this world, that is not the objective of your life. That is not the purpose of your life. Work for Jannah. Jannah is something that is earned. Jannah is something that we have to work for. He says, come back to Allah. Come back to Allah. Change your life and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because death will catch up with you. Death will catch up with you. You can never escape death. And once death comes, the pounds mean nothing. The dollars means nothing. The rands mean nothing. That whole thing comes down to zero. Your entire bank balance will come down to zero. No matter how much you have earned, how much you have accumulated, how much you have saved right up to that point of death, when death comes and when death catches up with you, all of that will mean absolutely nothing. But what will mean and what will prove to be of benefit is the effort that you made to earn the life, the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will assist us the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adopt the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of your life, in your business life, in your social life, in your political life, in every aspect of your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your role model. Learn to adopt the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your life. He says that when I came in the past, he said, I'm so happy to witness such a huge congregation seated before me. When I came many, many years ago, I noticed in the ijtima that I was present in, there were a few hundreds of people that were seated before me. And here, alhamdulillah, he says, there are up to 1,000 of people sitting before me in this congregation, which shows that there has been improvement over the years. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see in our lives, in our spiritual lives, how we improve, taking it from one level to the next level, always improving our lifestyle, improving our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the time comes when we have to stand before Allah. He says that one advice I give you, do not ever abandon salah. Do not ever, whatever it may be, under whichever circumstances, whether favorable or unfavorable, never are you allowed to abandon salah. Islam, Shariat has not given concession for us to abandon our salah. He says when it comes to other acts of worship, if you look at fasting, you will fast. It is obligatory for you to fast when you are healthy and you are strong. But the moment you fall ill or you are a traveler, there is a concession that applies to the fast. You are no longer obligated to fast in the state of travel and in the state of sickness. He says when it comes to zakah, when zakah becomes obligatory, a person does not discharge zakah immediately. When it comes to hajj, he will wait until the time of hajj arrives, then he will perform hajj. He says, but when it comes to salah, never, never will you find that there is a concession for one to abandon salah. Whether a person is sick, whether a person is healthy, whether a person is on journey, whether a person is a resident within his hometown, there is no concession given by Sharia and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to abandon our salah. Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that for salah, every salah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed a fixed time for every salah, which must be observed at its time on salah. He says if there was anyone who would have been given the concession not to perform salah, it would have been the shaheed of Karbala, the martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that at the time they were at the thick of war, in the thick of war, and they were about to be butchered and slaughtered. He says on that day, on the eve of Karbala, before sunset, you had never seen, the world has never witnessed a greater act of injustice. A world has never seen a greater mazloom, oppressed person, and a world has never seen a greater zalim, the oppressor on that day. Yet, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, even in that situation, if anyone was allowed to abandon salah, it would have been Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. But he himself also, he sends a message to the commander of the opposition and the enemy that allow us to discontinue the fighting for a few moments so that we may perform our salah. What did he say? He says, wallahi, I will not allow you to perform your salah. I will not discontinue the battle. What did Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala say? He says, you will not discontinue the battle. We will not abandon our salah. So how can you and I, on feeble excuses, every time there's a feeble excuse, based on that feeble excuse, we feel that we have the right to abandon our salah, when a man who was considered to be the greatest mazloom in the most trying and difficult circumstances also understood the importance of salah and did not abandon salah.
Mu'ana makes mention with regard to the aspect of emphasizing upon salah, and of course he says, I would like to appeal to you that never ever leave your salah. And he repeats that almost 3-4 times, namaz na choro, namaz na choro. Don't leave your salat, no matter if there was any particular type of accommodation. Then Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle in Karbala, when he asked Shimr, and he said, Shimr, allow me to perform my salat irrespective of the war. You call yourself a Muslim. And Shimr said, I'm not going to do so. Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, even at that time, didn't say that my life is at stake. And if I'm going to perform salat, he made the arrangements with regard to having two jamaats, on two Salatul Khawf, where one portion read their namaz and the other persons, they continued, protecting they themselves. And thereafter the other one came. He said, if even in such a situation, under the sword, when your life is at stake, they did not leave Salat. So what excuse and justification we have? He said, one day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing wuzu. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing wuzu, then Sahaba used to, because of the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to take the water that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use and they used to put it upon their bodies. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? They said, because of your love, Ya Rasulullah, we are doing this. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not tell you what will be the true lover of minds? The true lover of minds, what will he do? You know who is my ashiq? Do you know who has love for me? He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us, who will be the one? So he said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then read the hadith, and he made mention with regard to three of the qualities. Maybe Maulana will continue with that. He said, my lover would be the one who always speaks the truth. He said, then of course he asked the people, he said, I don't know how many people will fail, in this particular aspect of being true lovers. He asked the audience with regard to it, and the audience made mention then to him, said, many of us here in Durban would be amongst those who will fail, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the true ashik will be the one who always speaks the truth. Maulana says, always speak the truth. The one who speaks the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him barakah. Allah ta'ala will grant him respect. Allah will grant him honor. Then the second thing he said, that the second quality of those who love me is they do not deceive anyone. They fulfill their amanat and they do not deceive anyone. He said, a mu'min will never speak lies and he will not deceive people. One day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked people, Ayakunul mu'minu jabbanan? Ya Rasulullah, can a mu'min be a coward? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, we all are human beings, we've got faults, we've got weaknesses. It is possible for a mu'min to be a coward. It's possible. It's not recommended, but it's possible. Ayakunul mu'minu bakhilan? Ya Rasulullah, will a mu'min and can a mu'min be a miser? We are human beings. Mu'mins are also human beings. It's not recommended. He says it's possible. Ayakunul mu'minu kadhaban? He was asked, Ya Rasulullah, can a mu'min be a liar? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never. A mu'min can never be a liar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, I can expect other weaknesses in my ummah. Because we are human beings and every human being has got his fair share of weakness. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah has created us weak. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will never expect a mu'min to have these two qualities. Dishonesty and not fulfilling his obligation and his trust. كَذِبْ وَالْخِيَانَةِ. Lies and dishonesty and not fulfilling his trust. He said, I will never expect a mu'min to have these two qualities. He said, if we have and we practice these two qualities, we have betrayed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's trust, who said, a mu'min can have other weaknesses, he will not have these two weaknesses. He said, do not, for the sake, he gives an example of those people who are migrants, he said, do not commit lies and fraud for the sake of making your papers. Do not get married to local women in a deceitful way. He said, it has come to my notice that many a times people, they get married to local women and it is all for the sake of the papers. They don't get married for real. He said, this is deceiving. It is deceit. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, a true lover of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never deceive people. He will never deceive people. He gave the example in the time of, pre-partition. When, at that time the English were the ruling, the British were ruling over India, they said they had a people who was a gang of pickpocketers. They used to pickpocket the jackets and the trousers of people and the pockets of people. So one day, as he was taking the accounts from the people whom he had sent out on the road, one person only bought 2 rupees. And normally they used to bring at that time quite about 20, 30, 40 rupees according to that time. So he said, why do you bring only 2 rupees? He said, I had pickpocketed one Christian person, a European. I had pickpocketed him, and it was a lot of money. And then I felt ashamed. He said, why do you feel ashamed? He said, on the day of Qiyamah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam must not taunt my Nabi that your ummati stole from my ummati. I put it back in his pocket. He said, if we are going to be liars and deceiving people of other faiths, we are embarrassing our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And how would we face our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the day of Qiyamah? He said, I plead with you that do not do lies in your business, in your jobs, in your day-to-day life. Do not be deceitful. Do not lie. He said, then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, the third quality of those who love me are those people who really love me. Bear in mind the hadith comes that the Sahaba used to take the water of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do you know who are the people who really love me? Those who do not speak lies, those who do not deceive people, and those who are good to their neighbors. He said, you and I, we have now become part and parcel of this country. He said, we are not going to go back. Our children are not going to go back to India, Pakistan, or Somalia, or wherever it is. We are now in this country. We must make this country our base. And we must live in such a way that our actions and our conduct, it is appealing and it is good conduct to the people who are around us. That is our duty. We are in this country, we are not going. He makes mention of a small humorous incident. You might need to know the background with regard to this particular, you know, incident. The Pathans, he says, with due respect to anyone who is a Pathan, they normally eat niswar. Anyone knows what is niswar? It's a green powder that the people, the Pathans, put under their tongue. It gives a slightly intoxicating type of situation and attitude where it makes them go on a slight type of high. So the Pathans use it a lot, like how the Somalis, they eat cut, you know, the particular type of leaf. So he said that the Pathans' rabbit got lost, right? So the people started commiserating with him and said, your rabbit got lost. He said, don't worry, don't worry. I had given it niswar. And it is so used to this niswar, it won't go anywhere, it will come back to me. So he said, you are also not going anywhere, you are staying here. So if you are staying here, spend on the people here. Spend your nafli sadaqah here. Spend your charity here. You know, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, he used to very seldom used to have meat. That time Sahaba never used to eat meat the way we actually know. Meat was a very great luxury to them. But he said, whenever they used to slaughter meat, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to tell his people, used to tell his wife and his family, did you give it to my Jewish neighbor? He said, before I eat, he said, I will not eat until you have given the meat to my Jewish neighbor. He said, after you gave it to the Jewish neighbor, he said, now I will eat. Otherwise, I will not eat. He said, be good to your neighborhood and the people who are in your neighbor. This is a sunnah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you don't have love for me until you are good with your neighbors. And he said, for the sake of risk, must we lie and be deceitful? He said, let me give you one small aspect with regard to how to bring risk, barakat into risk. One sahabi came and said, Ya Rasulullah, I would like that Allah Ta'ala give me barakat in my risk. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want barakah in risk, always remain with wudu. As far as possible, remain with wudu, Allah Ta'ala will grant you barakah into risk. He said, this is a very, very great way of bringing barakah in your risk by remaining with wudu. He said that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever remains with wudu and sleeps with wudu, Allah Ta'ala will give him the reward of the entire night's ibadat. And Allah Ta'ala appoints an angel who will protect him during the entire night. He said, when you always remain with wudu, one other benefit is, inshallah, you will never miss salat. Because you're all the time with wuzu. So he said, this is something that is amongst those qualities that will bring barakah in risk. And he said, do not sell your honesty and integrity for the sake of dunya. Allah Ta'ala has given us ways to bring barakah in our risk. Do not use lies and deceit to increase your risk and sustenance.
Hazrat Maulana offers some concluding advices before terminating his program. He speaks about the generosity that we need to express when it comes to the less fortunate. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a sakhi person, the one who's generous. Generosity is something that attracts the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a bakhil, a stingy person, a miser, is one who is kept far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He speaks of the importance of truthfulness and being loyal. He says the khulasa of deen, if you look at the essence of deen
and the foundation of deen. Deen is based on the attribute of loyalty and truthfulness. In whatever we do, in our dealings, in our interactions with others, in our relationships with others, he says, let the foundation of every such relationship, interaction and dealing be one of truthfulness and loyalty. And if you look at the essence of kufr, so that is the essence of deen. The essence of deen and the foundation of deen is loyalty and truthfulness, honesty. And when you look at kufr and disbelief, you will find that the essence of kufr and disbelief is disloyalty and lies. So let us ensure that in every aspect of our lives, we make the foundation of our deen that of truthfulness, loyalty and honesty. He says he wants every one of us that are gathered here in this gathering to make niyyah, to spend at least 4 months, once in our lifetime, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, I am showing you, I am not teaching you what is deen, or I'm not telling you that is deen in its entirety. But we have spoken of love for Allah, we have spoken of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have spoken of pleasing and earning the happiness of Allah. He says, I'm showing you the most effective way to earn that, and that is to go and spend some time out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us take out some time, 3 days. 3 days, inshallah, every month, to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, really you will find that your life will turn around. Your iman will be energized by going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, my parting advice to you is love as an ummah. Love as an ummah. He says, let us not love as Barelvi, as Diobandi, as Wahhabi, as Salafi, as Sunni. He says, let us learn to embrace. Let us learn compassion. Let us learn tolerance. Let us have broad shoulders that we can tolerate the differences that exist in the ummah. He says, differences have always existed. It is how we manage these differences that exist in the ummah. He says, let us learn to be tolerant. Let us avoid calling people kafir. And every now and again, on the slightest difference of opinion that we have with others, we are readily prepared to issue a statement of kufr against the next person. He says, let us avoid this, stay away from this. Let us learn to live as an ummah. Let us not split the ummah. Let us not cause divisions amongst the ummah. Let us not destroy, Maulana says, let us not destroy the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world tirelessly, and with all his effort and energy, he built an ummah. Let us not destroy this ummah with the intolerance and the lack of compassion and the lack of love that we are expressing to others because of the differences that we might have amongst one another. He says, in order to learn this tolerance, and in order to learn this compassion and love that we ought to have with one another, and the differences, despite the differences, notwithstanding the differences that we might have, he says, come and study the Quran. You will learn love in the Quran. You will love compassion in the Quran. You will learn tolerance in the Quran. We have abandoned the Quran. And that is why we find that with the moment there is a little difference that exists between ourselves and a person that perhaps may belong to a different sector of the community, the moment we find that, we are prepared to label that person a kafir. He says, learn the Quran, learn compassion and tolerance from the Quran, study the seerah. He says, we are not studying the seerah. Study the seerah and you will find that the seerah is filled with incidents and events when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had expressed love, compassion and tolerance for others. He says, don't divide the ummah, don't destroy the efforts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There will be differences. And he says, let us learn to live with people that might have different viewpoints and different opinions. And he says, let not the differences that exist amongst us create hatred within our hearts for each other. Let not the differences that we have, let that differences not result in hatred and enmity being created within our hearts for each other. He says, let us start calling ourselves Muslims. Let us identify ourselves as Muslims belonging to one ummah. Let us look at each other with love. Let us not look each other with hatred. He says that look at so many ahadith, So many hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama bu'ithtu rahmah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I have been sent as a source of rahmah. I have been sent as a source of love, compassion and kindness. Present love to others. Present compassion to others. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kunu muyassirin wa la takunu mu'assirin. Then be from amongst those who bring about ease for people, that bring about convenience for people. Do not come and bring about difficulty and hardship for others. He says, study the seerah again. One is the Quran, in order to learn this tolerance and compassion that we ought to express towards each other. Study the Quran. And then he says, drown yourself in the seerah. Drown yourself in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therein you will find the love and tolerance that we ought to have for each other. He says, look at the Quran, the expression used in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, O my ibad. He says that if Allah had to stop there and say, Ya ibadi, O my ibad, my beloved servants, who will come to our mind? The one that will come to our mind is the one who's offering tahajjud salah, or the one who's reciting Quran, and the one who is performing hajj, and the one who's engaged in every form of ibadah. If Allah had to pause there and just say, Ya ibadi, O my beloved servants, those are the ones who will come to our minds. But what does Allah say? Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. O those ibad of mine who have transgressed the limits set by Allah. Allah has referred to them as what? Ibad. Allah has still referred to them as His servants, though they have lived a life of sin, a life of transgression, a life of israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still referred to them, those sinners of His creation, Allah has referred to them as His beloved servants. So He says that let us learn this tolerance, this compassion and the love that we should have from one another. Let us learn it from the Quran, the expressions of the Quran, and let us learn it from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
As his parting advisors, Hazrat Maulana says, each and every one must make tawbah. And he said, Allah Ta'ala loves tawbah the way He loves and no one, nothing else. Allah Ta'ala loves forgiving people. And he said that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if your sin reaches the heavens and reaches up till the, you know, till it becomes like the foam on the ocean, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawbah, and you ask Allah ta'ala for repentance, and you are sincere in your repentance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Then Maulana goes on to ask the entire gathering that side and said, repeat after me, which I will also ask you to repeat after me. He said, Ya Allah, mere tawbah. Say all together with me, Ya Allah, we repent for our gunas and sin. Ya Allah, mere tawbah. Ya Allah, our tawbah. Ya Allah, our tawbah. After three times asking the people to repeat, he says, if you were sincere in asking Allah Ta'ala for repentance, he said, I give you a guarantee at this particular time, when the time was there, it was 9:28, I give you a guarantee that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven your sins. If you are sincere in your repentance. He said, if you commit a guna after that, go and ask Allah Ta'ala again for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the people who ask for forgiveness, and Allah loves forgiving. Therefore, He says, go and do this particular aspect of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So that, and we can, He said, if a person is sincere in asking for forgiveness, you are like a small child who has just been born. If you are sincere, you are just like a child who has been born. Start your amals again. Now go and ask the ulama how you must lead your life. How I must go and fulfill this particular rite. How I must perform my salat. How I must do X of Sharia. He said, go and ask and make the habit of tawbah. Then he said that part of this aspect is, if you are at odds with anyone and you are enemies with anyone, go and make sulah. Go and reconcile. You know, and he said it is something that we must all the time be with regard to reconciliation. You must be the one who always asks for forgiveness. If you are living with your parents and your parents are alive, then go and respect your parents. Go and respect your parents. Because respecting of parents is very important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if my parents were alive, then if I would have been performing Isha Salat, and of course Isha Salat is for us, and if my mother would have said, Oh Muhammad, I would have broken my Salat, and would have said, Oh my mother, I am present. Oh, my mother, I am present. He said, if my mother was alive, I would have done such and such a thing. So if your parents are alive, he said, take the du'as of your parents. Even if you have to wash the feet of your parents, do so. And he said, be good to your wives. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the criteria of a person's piety and the criteria of a person's conduct is not how he deals with his friends, is how he deals with his wives. How he deals with his wife. Khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahli, the best amongst you are those who are good towards their wives. And then of course he said, respect your children. If you want your children to respect you, then respect your children. Show respect and love to your children. To the extent that you show love and respect to your children, they will in. And then of course he says, one important aspect with regard to it is, if you are at odds with someone, reconcile. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves forgiveness. And he said, amazing thing, he said, you and I, many times we feel that if I forgive someone who has done wrong to me, then Allah will decrease my respect and honor. We all say, why must I forgive him? As if I don't forgive him, is it dua time? It's dua time, so I will just finish this. If we don't forgive, it says, I will decrease my honor. He said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you feel by forgiving you are decreasing your honor, come and take the honor from me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, come and take, I guarantee you honor by forgiving a person. This is the example with regard to, he has made mention. He said, especially with regard to, if you are at odds with your wife, then make up with your wife. Allah Ta'ala does not like the aspect. Iblis becomes most happy when the husband and wife, and he concludes, I just come to this whole most beautiful example of Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one day came in the home and he saw that Ali radiallahu ta'ala wasn't there. So he said, Fatima, where is Ali? He said, we had an argument, he went away. So he went away. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as a father-in-law, and I wonder how we as father-in-laws would have treated this. He would have said, oh, he did this to you. He did that to you. That how we would have continued. What Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went? He went to look for Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He found Ali radiallahu ta'ala had slept at a place where there was sand. Right? And that sand had come upon the body of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, woke him up and called him Abu Turab, father of dust. And because he was filled with dust, Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, give me the seven heavens and earth. Give me the seven heavens and earth. I would not value it the way this one particular title that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me out of love, this particular aspect, it gave me such great amount of happiness. Then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back. And he called Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Fatima. He slept and he lied down. He kept Ali radiallahu ta'ala lying down on one side. And he kept Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala on one side. And he said, many a times you and I, when there is a fight between husband and wife, then we said, husband, now you give me your side of the story. Wife, you give me your side of the story. And we try and reconcile. And we sometimes, we say, in this particular aspect, we create more fights. What did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He lied down. He put Ali radiallahu ta'ala's hand over his hand. And then he put Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala's hand over that hand. On Ali radiallahu ta'ala's hand, Ali radiallahu ta'ala's hand, and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala said, say to one another, you have reconciled. You have stopped fighting. This is the way he brought them together. He said, stop fighting and stop disputing and arguments. This is the way. Bring about forgiveness and bring about, you know, beautiful akhlaq within us. It is dua. I hope you could be able to listen to the dua.